Charlie Soubley, who now lives in Tasmania and joins me this evening. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Louise.
Where did you grow up?
In Melbourne. Yeah, you know, East Camberwell.
Right.
Yeah.
What was your first trip to Tasmania?
1989, during the airline strike.
Oh, actually. Really?
Yeah. So that
did you come down on one of the military planes?
We made it here on a normal plane and went home on a military plane at Christmas time, and all the army personnel were dressed up in Christmas gear, and we were sitting in webbing along the length of the plane. So it was a great memory because the trip had been effectively a schoolies week trip before schoolies week really existed. But
wow, that's not the Gold Coast, is it?
Wasn't the Gold Coast. No, we went to the Overland Track. About 10 of us, and hiked the Overland Track, and yeah, it just blew my mind.
Yeah. So you were what, teenager then, 17, 18?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And was it a tougher experience than you thought? Have you done much bushwalking in Victoria before you did the track?
Yeah, I've done quite a lot of bushwalking, so, but there's just, it's totally different, you know, flora and fauna here, so that really blew my mind, and it was like you were in a wonderland walking through different climate zones. Mm. You know, every 5 or 10 minutes it felt like.
Yes.
So, yeah, it was remarkable.
Well, it can literally be that too. It may be December, but you're still just as likely to get snow in December as you are at any other time of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was definitely saw snow there. I remember that on Cradle Mountain, yeah.
Yeah. So back to Melbourne. Was Tasmania ever in the sort of the back of your mind as maybe a place to come one day?
I don't know why we chose to come here for that hiking trip, but... No, it had never really been in my mind before that. I used to, as a kid, collect all those sort of Weet-Bix box flags of the world and stats on stuff. And I was I loved the idea of travel and exploring. I hadn't been in my mind before that, really.
So what brought you down here eventually, a couple of decades later?
I had been here a few times in between as well for visits, but then in 2014 I'd been working in the arts for a while, mostly as a photographer, but sometimes doing some little bit of writing and some installation stuff, and basically burned out. And at the same time as I burned out and I ended up back at my folks' place as a 40-something-year-old, but my dad had been very unwell. And so I sort of realised, well, you know, I can help myself get out of this by helping him because he's worse off in a different way. And while looking after him during that, during that year, I knew I had to make some changes in terms of a lifestyle. So looked across a few different industries and chose to study nursing. Saw that there was like a 2-year compressed course down here, and I was a bit over study in the formal sense, so I thought, yeah, great, I'll just get down and knock that off. But in fact, now I'm up to my 5th year of the fast track degree, so
it's not exactly heading into a non-stress profession either, is it? Nursing, it can be a tough one.
Yeah, it is tough. I really admire nurses, as I do say teachers and people like that. But it fitted with sort of my what I consider to, you know, be my values of trying to do something worthwhile, relative flexibility, so and like part time and geographical flexibility, so I can hopefully continue to do some art projects along the way. And it was sort of a bit like, well, do I work in cafes and things and save up and do a project or not? And the nursing seemed to tick a lot of boxes, so yeah.
Was it the right decision for you think?
I have to be careful here because I have done a few degrees before and I haven't been too happy with the quality of this one. And look, the biggest point though is that unfortunately, and to a lot of people's surprise, the healthcare industry has the highest level of bullying of any industry.
Really?
To the extent that even the World Health Organization put out a public warning about it several years ago. And so I've seen that during my placements, I've experienced it directly. And yeah, I really, really struggle with that. But there's a lot of different, that's mostly in the institutional side of stuff. So, you know, I'll probably end up more in community-based work.
So the commitment to helping people and making a better world is still underlying what you were trying to do, what you want to do?
Yeah, it's part of that, plus my own selfish desire for a flexible lifestyle.
I don't think that's selfish these days, is it? Finding the balance of life that works for you, I think, probably key to health, isn't it? Mental health and
that's probably a good
physical
point.
Too.
I should be less harsh on myself. and especially, yeah, I guess, the younger generations, it's what we hear is that's it's a lot about that. Mm. They're pretty impatient for new things, etc. It still fits, yeah, with that I enjoy helping people and helping in various ways. It's, yeah, something I get a big kick out of.
Well, my guest, Charlie Souble, we're talking about his move to Tasmania, what he does and why he does it. So in terms of being in Tasmania, that obviously changes things from living in Melbourne, doesn't it? Just by the size of the virtue of the cities. Has that worked for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I even that first trip down here in schoolies week in 89, I loved the feel of the place. Arriving at Launceston Airport was memorable. I loved the fact we had to get our own bags off the sort of little, almost like toy train-like carriages. General slower pace. And I also felt, I might be imagining this, but I felt like people were more resourceful down here. And that appeals to me as well, sort of making more with less.
Mm. Yeah. And the art, what set you off into the art photography in the first place? Were you an artistic child?
No, not at all. I think I probably must have had a decent imagination, but it came out through wandering. I used to just wander all around my neighbourhood and explore. That's what I most remember doing. So I was really interested in nature and exploring. The children's book, I blame the children's book, Choose Your Own Adventure, that some
people
might...
That was what you chose, was it?
Absolutely, was addicted to it. The arts came by accident. I absolutely never would have imagined myself in the arts. I was a double math sciences kid at school. I did it as a... I'd enjoyed photography, and there's obviously maths and physics involved in photography. In the late 90s, I'd actually been living up in Launceston for 2 years, but that job fell through. It was in tourism. And so, decided to take the old leap of faith and go, all right, I'll back myself, and went and studied photography in Melbourne.
Mm.
Still at the end of that, though, I had no real idea what I was going to do with it. And I remember saying to my ex, oh, I really think I might just go bushwalking with it. And it's just gone on from there. But I did my first exhibition while I was studying at RMIT. It was about big issue vendors who sell generally long-term unemployed and homeless people who sell magazine to help raise some money for themselves. I really enjoyed that experience of exhibiting and sort of have continued on from there across different subjects that appeal to me.
Mm. Do you still enjoy, you mentioned you want the balance, you want the time to do it. Have you changed the way in which you do it or what you want to photograph? Has that changed at all to fit into the balance of your new life, do you think, Charlie?
I've been a bit off the boil the last few years since the burnout factor. I have, done a couple of exhibitions since then, but I don't feel like I'm, I haven't been anywhere near as, committed to it. It was my life for quite a long time.
Whereas now you want to make it a pleasure, don't you?
Well, I still want to. To be honest, I'm not really sure. But right. I know I've got some decent skills and I've done pretty well. But as I was reading today on the Wheeler Centre website about writers, I mean, you don't make any money, even the best writers and things like that. So I'd still like to do some really what I consider decent projects. I'm just not sure when that time will occur, but hopefully it does.
Do you still get out in the bush in Tasmania?
Surprisingly, not that much. I've got the ugliest foot you've ever seen in your life, and it's a bunion that's caused some difficulty with long distance walking. And I'm on the waiting list to get that reshaped. That stopped a bit of that. Plus, also, I feel a bit. For the arts is quite isolating as well. So is bushwalking generally, unless you're doing it in big groups. I haven't enjoying it as much. But, yeah, again, I hope to get back into that down the track.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Tasmania has changed a great deal from when you first came in 1989 in terms of the arts, I guess, and even just the variety of life and what's there. It seems to be a much more artistic environment these days. Do you think so?
I didn't really spend enough time here back in the days to pick up on that. And when I was living in Launceston briefly in the late 90s, yeah, art wasn't on my mind. I didn't go to galleries or anything like that. Certainly, you know, since, you know, Mona's obviously the huge element, and as much as I love it, and I particularly, you know, sort of love the turning things on its head type approach, but I'm actually I'm concerned about the flow on effect of that in terms of faux sophistication that might be drawn to Hobart and the surrounds.
It's certainly a talking point too. Everyone has a different appreciation or interpretation. My guest's Charlie Souble. He's tonight's Tasmanian transplant. I was talking earlier that with the demise of iTunes, we got reflecting on the mixtapes and the mix CDs that we used to make, and Charlie sat down and had his own story. You still got some mixtapes, have you, Charlie?
Yeah, I've got, I might get these back to front, but I've got 23 Degrees and Fine, which was the weather on one day, and 18 Degrees and Overcast. And I mentioned to you, Louise, before that, in fact, my CD player just broke, and I pulled these tapes out for the first time in about a decade, and have been listening to songs that I made them in the early 90s for my first overseas trip when, yeah, you might have a Walkman if you were lucky. So you've been listening to those the last couple of days, and I'm a little bit concerned about whether the tape may break eventually.
Well, that's a big thing, isn't it? Do you hang on to them? Do you put them on a CD? Do you download them to your device or something?
Yeah, it's a consideration, but I thought I shouldn't worry about it too much at this stage.
They take you back, though, don't they? You can physically feel yourself going back in time, I find, listening to those.
Yeah, I didn't make a lot of mixtapes, and I did it with my sister on those two tapes. I can remember where we did it and, yeah, those days, remember the weather, the feeling of it, and the journey ahead. So there was a lot of sort of excitement and picking together songs that gave us a kick.
Yes.
Well, you
had to choose, didn't you? You only had a certain amount of time that you actually put on that CD or that cassette.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the 45-minute sides, I think it was, that I've got.
No 6 gig of downloads.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, I was laughing about that to myself yesterday, thinking how sick of it you may well have got while you're travelling for 12 months or whatever and having to listen to the same tape. But I guess, you know, you swapped things.
You held on to it anyway. If it came home again, it must have been good listening.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
A pleasure to talk to you. Good luck with everything, career and art and everything else. And thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thanks a lot for having me, Louise.
Thank you.
It.